House of Pain podcast radio show, huge in Germany and Canada.
No.
Huge.
No, it's not.
Shout out to our listener in Japan and Nigeria and New Zealand and South Africa, such as the Iraq. And anyway, welcome. I'm Father Brian O'Brien, pastor of St. Francis Xavier.
Father Kerry Wakulich.
Lame duck.
No.
Lame duck pastor.
Yeah, you're leaving. So Father Kerry Wakulich, the soon-to-be only pastor.
Lame, but not lame duck.
In Payne County, St. John. The city of Stillwater. We still have a pastor over in Cushing.
That's correct, which is in Payne County.
Yeah.
And Drumright is half in Payne County.
Half in Payne County. But I will be, when you leave, I'll be the pastor of pain. Pastorless. What are we going to call this show for?
It's entirely up to you.
And the new guy, who we still don't know. This is driving me crazy.
I mean, what's going to change? When you know who it is, what are you going to do?
I'm going to call the guy up and listen here.
It's my town.
I was like, bro, we need to talk about
this. There's only room for one, maybe two priests. seriously, what are you going to do?
We're going to keep the hits rolling, baby.
Okay. As soon as you find out, are you calling? I assume what will happen is the bishop will tell you and Father Healy at least a couple days before, maybe, right?
I don't know.
I mean, what are you going to do? So if you find out it's Father, you're going to immediately call him?
No, I'll send him a text message and say, yo, welcome to town, baby. Good to have you.
All right.
Okay. If you need help moving, let me know. I'll come get some of your crap.
Yeah.
And I'll dump it on the side of the road in a burn pile on
highway. Do you have a prediction? Do you think he's going to live upstairs or downstairs?
Well, I don't know. He'll live where I tell him to live. There's a there's a hazing when you come into this house. Yeah, the first month, people jump around on your ceiling.
It'll be interesting. Yeah. I think people should be, in some sense, you got to be ready for anything. And I hope whomever that is, there will be. I will tell you, the day was announced that I was going to Holy Family, I got a few, nice texts and emails from people that I know who live in Tulsa. And I had one guy who I've met him once. And he emailed me and he said, dear Father Brian, I'm a parishioner at Holy Family. We love Father Castle and we're very sad he's leaving, but we're also excited you're coming. He said, if you need anything, you let me know. I'm happy to help you move. That's a guy I've never met. And he just reached out and offered to help me move. That's nice. That's nice.
Yeah.
That made me feel good.
Oh. You know what also makes me feel good?
What?
Is people becoming Catholic.
Easter? Oh, yeah. It's go time. It's go time for our...
people becoming Catholic?
For the candidates and the catechumens, the elect. So a little background here. So on a regular basis, there are people... most of the world is not Catholic.
Boo. They need to get on the bus, Gus.
Now, everyone in heaven is Catholic, but most of the world is not Catholic. And so a very common event, especially in a non-Catholic area such as ours, is that we regularly are having conversations with people. This is true at both parishes. Regularly having conversations with people who are interested in learning more about the Catholic faith.
Yep.
And so that can be someone who doesn't go to church at all and they're interested. Maybe the architecture has drawn them in. Maybe they came to church with a friend, whatever. We have people who used to be something and now, are not practicing. And that can be they grew up Catholic but left the faith for a certain period of time. We have people who are active in some other church and they've been challenged by a friend or their girlfriend is Catholic or their spouse or... they saw one of our videos or they stopped by the church, whatever, and they want to know more. Those conversations are happening on a weekly basis at both places. Father Healy is having those conversations. I'm having those conversations at our place. Corey Hicks, who's our director of evangelization, is having those conversations. Angela Vivar, who's our director of Hispanic ministry, is having those conversations. At your place, who's having those conversations?
Oh, the missionaries are having those conversations.
Focus missionaries.
Yeah. The folks with our five focus missionaries, Clay Furley, Kimberly Williams, and then also the students who are becoming Catholic and students out on campus who are living in the dorms and their roommates and stuff like that. They're also having those conversations of their faith, which is just absolutely marvelous.
It's so fun to think about, like, all those things that are happening. I would say at our place, Jacob Farney, who's our children's minister, is having those conversations. Kira Ziola, our youth minister, is having those conversations. And so then what happens, so we have all these people, and they're at all these different sort of stages.
Yes.
I mean, every week, there is somebody at Mass at St. Francis Xavier who has never been to Mass. Every week. Guaranteed. That person is in a very different place than maybe somebody. So we have a guy right now who's in RCIA who for I would say several years has been by himself just watching YouTube videos about Catholicism.
Whoa.
And then there came a point where he became convinced that the Catholic Church is the church founded by Christ on the rock of St. Peter.
Okay.
And then he reached out and said, I want to be a Catholic.
After watching videos.
Yes.
For multiple years.
For a long time.
Well, that's beautiful.
So there's people like that. And then there's people who have been maybe married to a Catholic for 25 years. And now they're, whatever happened in their life, they are now at a point where they say, I want to become a Catholic.
I don't have any of those people.
You do not have any of those people. But what we thought we would do is just talk about this year's group. There's a group at St. Francis Xavier, a group at St. John's, of the people that are becoming Catholic. They have gotten to a point, they've not arrived, you know, they don't know everything, but they've reached a point where they're saying, I am ready to profess publicly that I am a member of the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church.
I thought, I'm going to throw this number out. I think the number 65 people entering the church this year in Stillwater between the two parishes.
Yes.
Because we're in the mid-30s. You're in the mid-30s.
It'll be in the 20s. Because what's interesting is we have some people that have already become Catholic.
Ah, yeah.
Like this year. So as pastors, right, we actually have some discretion. If it's the middle of October and we think a person is ready to enter the church, we can do that.
Yes.
So we've had a series of people last summer, throughout the fall. So if you put all that together, we're in the 30s.
Yeah. And yep. and we do the same thing. Ours is students who, and this is what we have. I mean, just since January 1, we have a 47% increase of people. I love people. Kimberly does all these stats and numbers and stuff. She's like, and Clay does them as well, like stats and numbers. And 47% increase since January of students who come. So we have, on Tuesday nights, we have two RCIA classes. We call them the downstairs and the upstairs, the first floor and the second floor RCIA Catholicism 101 classes.
Is there a difference?
Yeah. One is going through the Kerygma right now because they started in January.
Oh,
and the
newer.
Other ones are talking about vocations and
old people versus young people.
Yeah, yeah. These people have been around and been going. And then we had students who literally like dropped out of the second class because school started and they're like, I can't do this, this, and this, and do this. So now they just showed back up in January and they're like, I'm ready to go. And we're like, hi. So we just.
And as a parish, I think we try, both parishes, we really do try to meet people where they are, to be very yes. flexible, you know. So I think you run into this in Catholicism, and if out there listening, you've had this experience where like you wanted, you know, you showed up in October at some parish, and they said, "Nope, sorry, we start in September. Come back next September," which is dumb, right? It's not.
Yeah, parishes, please don't do that.
That's not a good way. But I understand, and maybe especially kind of smaller places where they don't have a lot of resources to. We do, right? We do. We have resources here to be able to really meet people where they are. But we have a wonderful I just love, you know, so our group meets on Tuesday nights also. And then we have a group, actually a group of kids that meet on Sunday afternoons.
Oh, sweet.
And that's not, you know, so in a regular parish like ours, we have right now going, we have First Communion kids. So that's second graders, third, I think there's 28 of them. We have our confirmation kids, which are high school juniors and seniors, mostly juniors. And there are 24 of them, I think, 23. All of them are preparing for the sacraments. That's 50 plus people, which is awesome. Then we have three different groups, and I think you have these same groups, right? We have people who are an already Catholic,
yep,
but were never confirmed.
Yeah, their parents, I mean, the examples of them are they were baptized, and then that was it. Like, they never went to church again.
Yep.
And so there's those kids who have never received the sacrament of confirmation or their first Holy Communion.
Oh, yeah, those people too.
Or never been to the sacrament of confession. Boom, there's those. And then the other ones who, high school, everything got busy with sports, and they just stopped going.
And yeah. Never were confirmed.
Yep.
So we have adults, and your people are all, the church says, are all adults. They're college students, but they're, in our minds, they're adults. Yeah, they're not children.
I received the sacrament of confirmation at the age of 21 in Anjongri, South Korea, at Camp Humphreys.
Yep. So you missed it in high school.
I dodged it. I didn't want to go to a stupid religious education classes taught by people who were boring. I already went to Catholic schools. Yeah. I knew
it all.
That's
what they said about you.
I know. That's why they tried to throw me out a couple times.
So we have that group. We have adults, unconfirmed, already Catholic adults.
Bam. Check them.
With our group, what I like this year, we've never done this before, but this year we are having them be confirmed by Bishop Condrilla when he comes to confirm the high school kids.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
When's that?
I'm very excited. April 10th.
Oh, I mean.
After Easter. Please come. Or if you have any, do you have anyone you want to throw in?
Let me see if he can.
What you want to be confirmed again?
What time is the, oh, I do. I need the
too
whole.
Too bad. What, it's a one-time sacrament.
Oh, really? Okay. Yep. What time is he coming?
That mass is
at morning?
5:30 or something.
P.M.?
P.M. Oh. 6, maybe 6.
P.M.?
P.M. Yeah.
Oh.
It's a Wednesday night. Wednesday at 6 o'clock. It'll be bilingual.
Oh, I can't do that.
You speak Spanish.
No, I mean, just have like Wednesday at 6 p.m. That would throw a...
That's when you nap.
That would throw a... 3 p.m., 2:30. Don't talk to me from 2:30 to 3:15.
Anyway, so there's three groups. That group, adults.
Yep.
Already Catholic adults who are lacking confirmation.
Oh, yeah.
Then we have a group that we call the candidates. These are already baptized people. They were baptized Methodist, Presbyterian, Life Church, whatever.
Yep.
Okay. Already baptized adults who want to become Catholic.
Oh, yes.
So two things are going to happen to them. They have to take what we call the profession of faith. They are not Catholic. They have to profess the Catholic faith.
Uh-huh.
And then they receive the sacraments of confirmation and
confession
and the Eucharist. And they get, before all that, they go to confession. Yeah. So there's that group. And then the most special group are those who, the unbaptized, that we call catechumens. And we have actually our largest group of catechumens ever. We have five
this year.
Unbaptized people. Okay, tell us a little bit about some of them. We decided not to use names. Where are these people from?
They're college students.
And are they? They're from the city. They're from the country.
I'm just going through the imaginary list, and they're really. I mean, one of the really cool things about being in college ministry. And I tell people this. I said, we have people from 30 dioceses and 60 different or 100 different parishes. So they're coming from all over. The Catholics are coming from all over the place. And so are these college students. Some of them are from very, very small towns of – when I'm in small towns, like there's 20 people that live in the town and 100 people that live on farms around the towns. And from rural Oklahoma. So their first encounter with Catholicism was is St. John.
Oh, interesting.
You know, they were dating somebody, and that person, the person they were dating became Catholic, and they said, "I want to bring you to church with me." And so they were like, "What is all this stuff?
What is
like,
church?
I've never seen anything like this." So they have a very small like window worldview of the Catholic Church. So we have to sort of help fix that too, because you know when they go to Tulsa or Oklahoma City or Dallas, and they're like, "Okay, we're going to go to Sunday Mass," and they walk in, they're like, "What is this place?" You know, there's 1,000 people at Mass and not, you know, 300. So we have like kids like that from college, not kids, college students like that. Some are just, you know, have read their way into the Catholic Church. We had some students that transferred in this year. You know, every year there's students that transfer in from other colleges at the end of different semesters, and they've interacted with Catholics at their other colleges. And their friends say, "Okay, this is where you're going to go to Mass when you transfer to your other college." And so they show up and walk in the front door, and they're like, "Hi, like who are you?" And they said, "Well, I just transferred in from another college."
Nice.
So we have a couple of those, you know, each year that make their way into the church, and then the curious bystanders who have sort of been watching from a fringe, and you don't even know they're there. They kind of slip in, they slip out. They don't know you don't even know they're there, literally, until they surprise you and say, "So I've been going to Mass all year." And you're like, "What? I didn't even see you here."
Well, they maybe come in like right at the end, maybe leave early.
They come in with a crowd and they go out with a crowd.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and now they're intrigued about Catholicism. And I'd say we have a couple also who it's such a mixed bag that people that have just accidentally ended up, you know, there's those intentional people, and then the ones who just accidentally ended up here, and by divine providence. Like, there's one young man who I met at a wedding years ago, and he just decided he wanted to come to Ash Wednesday. And when he came to Ash Wednesday, he said, "Okay, I'm ready to get baptized." Like, "I'm sorry, what?"
Oh, okay.
And so he introduced himself, and he said, "I met you at a wedding. I met you at a wedding. And several years ago," because his family is all OSU people. So it was like a cousin's wedding or something like that. Just cool stuff like that. There's that line from St. Paul. He's like, "Paul plants, Apollos water, God gives the growth." Or we had a student who is becoming Catholic, and they were sitting next to Julian, one of our missionaries at SEEK, and the student who's not Catholic just said, they're baptized, and they just said, "Can I go to," there was the night when it's like, there's Eucharistic adoration one night, and everybody says, it's like, Eucharistic adoration is so moving. It's both beautiful, emotional, and theological rich. It just like captures your heart and your mind as this, the beauty of Eucharistic adoration. I'm like, I have never seen it before, because there's in the next room over,
oh, at SEEK, you've
in
never
the next
seen
room
it.
Over, there's 300 priests hearing confessions. So I've never seen Eucharistic adoration in the, and I've been to SEEK 10 times. And yeah, I've never seen it before.
9 times.
Yeah, never seen it. So the student leaned over to Julian and was like, "Hey, can I go to confession?" And Julian says, "I don't know if you're ready yet." And he goes, "Okay." A couple minutes later, he leans over and is like, "I really want to go to confession, Julian." And Julian's like, bro, do what you want.
Yeah, and just guy, go tell the priest you're not Catholic.
Yeah, went off to confession and came back and said, "This is the first time in my life I've ever known of God's, God is both, God loves me, and he is merciful."
Woo.
And there it is. God loves me and is merciful. And that that student's going to receive the sacraments. I think on Divine Mercy. We do them on Divine Mercy Sunday. Yeah. Everybody receives the sacrament of confirmation, their first Holy Communion on Divine Mercy Sunday. And then we only do the baptisms on the Easter. Yeah, at the Easter Vigil. Because one is just like way too many people. I mean, it's like, what do you do with... We don't have room for 32 people to receive the sacraments. And so we break them up and like, okay, these are Catholic. These
so your people, catechumens, the unbaptized, will receive the sacraments at the Easter Vigil.
Uh-huh.
And then your candidates and others.
Divine Mercy Sunday / sprinkled throughout the week. We give them opportunities to sign up.
Okay.
And you're like, you sign up for these dates you want. So we'll do some at the 10 a.m. Mass, some at the 4 p.m. Mass on Divine Mercy Sunday. And then we'll sprinkle some throughout this throughout the remaining weeks. Because now, this year, like Mystagogy is like the second week in April. Because Lent
Mystagogy is the kind of ongoing formation after Easter.
So we have some students who we're going to drop it in that Mystagogy season right there and get them like the first week in May. They're going to receive the sacraments right before they go home.
There we go. Wow.
And as students like that, you know, a student who, just goes to Mass. There's four or five Catholics in their family, five Catholics, but he's the only one that goes to church. So he just said, I asked him, I said, you want to be a lecturer at Mass? And he's like, well, I'm not even confirmed. Like, what does that mean? He's like, well, I've never received the sacrament of confirmation. I can't lecture at Mass. I was like, no, you can. Let me teach you how to lecture at Mass. And then after talking, it's like, well, why haven't you received these sacraments? And I said, well, I just live in a small town. And if you were doing rodeo and baseball and football and FFA, then you missed out on all these classes. And, no one was going to pull you aside and be like, because, hey, you need to come do these classes. So just didn't happen. I understand it. So we just try to like make those amends for people and get them to receive the sacraments that are the life-giving gifts of God. Man, it's just, yeah. So, I mean, so if you're out there, I mean, I even prepared a guy via formed. Couldn't come to the classes.
Yeah.
Gave him the formed account. I was like, watch these. Let's talk. Watch these. Let's talk. You take notes, copious notes. And then that kid left and went to another college. And I said, okay, let me, where are you going to college? I'm going to school. Okay. I'm going to call the priest there and I'm going to introduce the two of you. And you can go and receive your sacraments at your college. And wha-bam, it happened.
I like that about us, our parishes, that there is a, we've said before, Stillwater is kind of a transient town.
Yeah.
Lots of people kind of in and out. There's obviously the mainstays, but especially college students are, and so to know, if a college kid, is halfway through RCIA and is now transferring, do we just say, well, heck with you. We don't care about you. You're like taking that extra step of calling the priest there. Making sure that they're connected. We've done that with families who have, they're moving and they're in the middle of First Communion. Well, let's get you connected and let's make sure that that the kid is not negatively affected by that. And then the hard part, I mean, I think for both of us is we have people that go through all of this. You spend a lot of time with our becoming Catholic groups, and then in your case, they might receive the sacraments and graduate. In our case, receive the sacraments and move. And you just, you hope, what you said, Paul and Apollos and God, like that you've formed them well. And then what's awesome is we get letters, emails and texts from people who are now, became Catholic here and are now somewhere else and are thriving and are very involved in the life of their parish there. And that's very edifying to see.
That's so great.
The other kind of interesting dynamic you don't have that we have is we have a number of people who want to become Catholic but can't yet because they're waiting on or they're working on like annulments. They were married before, they're divorced, and now they're married again. So in the church, we would say that somebody who's on their second marriage is in an irregular marriage, and therefore they're not able to receive the sacraments yet. And so, you know, some of these folks are just, you know, they're working on their annulments, are being infinitely patient with the process. And so that's where some folks that are in are becoming Catholic but won't receive the sacraments at Easter because their annulments aren't done yet.
Right.
But then as soon as those annulments come through, then we will, you know, then they'll become Catholic.
You also have another one that's different than ours, is y'all have ministry to the local jails here in Payne County.
So,
And I know in the past that there has been, people have written letters to St. John because it's the closest church, and I bring them over here to you, or you guys get phone calls. And what, tell me about it.
So that happened, but that's one of our RCIA people.
This year?
That was in the fall.
Okay.
So we got one of those letters, as, you know, as any good pastor does, you delegate that to your associate.
Send it to the associate.
But Father Healy, you know, wrote back, made contact, would go and visit. And it's, you know, it's something you never want. You want it, you can't, you don't want to force it, you know, so it's not like, this is not. You want the, you know, the free choice of the person. So you present the gospel, and the person says, "Yeah, I want that. I want to be a Catholic." And so, you know, how do you do that with a person who's in jail, who's incarcerated? And you do it like Father Healy did. You visit, you spend time, you answer questions. We got him a Bible, we got him a catechism, and he then made that decision. So then, in this young man's case, he was about to be moved. And so we sped it up a little bit in that, especially in the prison system, once he gets moved, you know, he's not going to be anywhere near us. And so that happened back whenever that was, September, October.
Y'all still in touch with him?
We went, Father Healy is, yeah.
Oh,
so we know
so
where
cool.
he is. And so same thing, right? You have a college kid who transfers. We have a guy in the jail who transferred. He got transferred. And so to connect him with whatever local Catholic ministry is happening at that prison.
Oh.
And that's how, I mean, that's what, it's that extra step that the church needs to take. And I think we, you know, we really strive to do that.
It's hard.
For people, it's but really, it's hard because if the on the other end, they're not that receptive, or the person, then maybe they gets moved again. And then we don't know, you know, you lose track. You don't know where they are. They're kind of in the wind.
It's hard and beautiful because, I mean, it's the church being universal. You can just, okay, you can call this priest up and.
That is fun. Those are fun. Like you call a priest, you call the parish, you know, and just say, "Hi, this is Father Brian O'Brien. I'm a priest of the Diocese of Tulsa, Oklahoma, and pastor of St. Francis Xavier in Stillwater. Can I speak with Father, you know?" "Oh, sure. Hold on just a minute." And then the priest comes on. "Hello. Hey, Father, this is Father Brian O'Brien, priest of the Diocese of Tulsa." "Oh, Tulsa? Oh, I went to school with a couple of guys from Tulsa." "Oh, where'd you go to school?" "I went to North American College." "Oh, when were you ordained?" "96. "Oh, you know Jack Gleason?" "Oh, yeah, I know Jack, you know."
Yeah, there it is.
And it's on, right?
And the people there priests. In the room who are listening to this conversation take place, when you hang up the phone, they're like, What was that?
Like when priests see each other at airports, you're like, Hey, Father, where are you from? Oh, you're Bishop. I know you're Bishop from A&M, or you know, and off we go. So that's the I mean, it's a beautiful thing. Just another beautiful thing about being Catholic, the universality of it all. And we see that. You have college students coming from all over the world.
Uh-huh.
We have people here from all over Payne County, some from all over the world.
Yep.
And they come, and they're coming to our parish to be formed. And then this Easter, or just after, they will be baptized, maybe. They'll receive the sacraments of initiation that they are lacking.
Yeah.
All of them will receive our Lord in the Eucharist for the first time.
Wow. Boom, boom, boom.
It's amazing.
I'm
so come. So at both places, get the Holy Week schedule.
Yes, sir.
And come. Holy Thursday, Good Friday,
be there.
The Easter Vigil, Easter Mass. It's going to be awesome.
Amen, brother. Peace.